Bold. Brave. With Dr. Pam Peek.
Hi, I'm Dr. Pam Peek. This is episode 504 of Her, the podcast. And I'm welcoming Laura Yeeces. Laura, welcome to the Her podcast.
Thanks, Pam. I'm so glad to be here.
Okay, now look, I've looked at your background. It's kind of crazy. You're a health tech leader, strategist. You've been working, you know, with medical devices and diagnostics and on it goes. You have a MBA from Harvard, a Master of Science in Financial Services. What the hell is that? From Georgetown. And you did your undergraduate at Dartmouth. I'm exhausted, okay? You know, you've convinced us you're a very smart person. Now, here you are, the CEO of a company called OsteoBoost that's all about bone health. Now, you have a lot of options out there to do amazing things in other sectors. Why this? Why bone?
Well, you're right. I did have a lot of options, and I was so lucky to get to do really interesting and fun and amazing things in my career. You know, you talked about my education, but I worked in tech. I worked at Netscape, where I ran the browser division and Yahoo Mail and Checkpoint. And then I ended up working in startups, and I was CEO of a startup, and we sold that company to Apple. And that company, Catch, became the foundation of the Apple Watch team. And so after that, I had an opportunity to really reevaluate what did I want to work on. And I grew up in a family of doctors. I was sort of the black sheep non-doctor of the family.
But you play one on TV.
But I was always around it. You know, my parents would literally like talk shop at dinner. And my dad was medical director of a nursing home. And I worked there during a couple of my summers. And so I think deep down, I always wanted to also have an impact on people's health. Technology is so exciting and it's a high, but you know, I also had this really interest in helping people live better and do better. And you know, when I was working in technology, it was oftentimes on productivity tools. So it was something that would have an impact on people's day-to-day life, but not their health. And then about 10 years ago, I saw this convergence of healthcare and technology. So suddenly I could do both. I could work on new technologies, have the thrill that you get in healthcare where what you work on can be used by literally tens of millions of users. When I worked on the Netscape browser, if we had a new browser release, we would literally get 50 million downloads. And I mean, that was in 1998, 2000. And so those numbers, of course, are even bigger. And specifically for bone health, when I worked in this nursing home, I quickly realized that people are there for one of two reasons. They lose their memory from Alzheimer's, or they broke a hip and lose their independence. I mean, there's a few exceptions. And so I knew firsthand how important bone health and osteoporosis could be. My grandmother had osteoporosis. She, I don't know how many inches of height she lost with vertebral compression fractures. So when the company recruited me, I was like, oh my God, if this thing works, this will be amazing. And, you know, this is such a huge need. And this is something that's really scalable that we could bring to a lot of people. But here's the catch. Back in 2020, when I was talking to the company, we actually didn't know if it worked, right? That's what the science part's for. And we were in the middle of doing a gold standard randomized control trial at the University of Nebraska Medical Center. And I was like, okay, but there's a chance that this could work. I want to be all in. So here I am.
I think that that's wild. What, you know, what I'm hearing is, you know, in the beginning, you're telling us about your tremendous background in tech and such. And all of a sudden, I'm hearing you ramp up with passion, especially since something like osteoporosis affects you and your family in terms of genetics and back and forth. But this also, all of this health and tech was taking place at the same time women's health was starting to really emerge as a thing. I mean, you know, radical, right? Like what took you so long, but I'm not going to go there. So now we have the convergence of women's health tech, and then you get this opportunity to work with what? What is this device you're talking about?
Sure. So what we have, it's just really so cool. I'm really excited to tell you about. We have a precision vibration device. It's a wearable. So the form factor is like a belt. The vibration pack goes on the lumbar spine, specifically at the sacrum. And there's a lot of embedded technology, accelerometers, pressure sensors, and they are specifically designed to make sure that you get the exact type of vibration that we have scientifically proven improves bone health to the hips and lumbar spine, which are the most vulnerable anatomy. People will often say, you know, haven't whole body vibration platforms been around for a while and other kinds of vibration devices? And yes, vibration broadly is a modality that is used for many things and it's been around for a while, but it's never been shown to have a statistically significant benefit in the hips and lumbar spine in 1 year the way we have. And what I attribute it to, it's not just any old vibration. It is very much designed to be sure that you get the proper vibration to the hips and lumbar spine. And you know what we saw in the pivotal trial was just a home run of a result where we reduced bone loss by 85%.
So let me get this straight, Laura. What you're talking about is an FDA-cleared device. It's a real medical device, and it's worn like a fanny pack, and you said it, the little engine part of it, sits right on the sacrum, and for all of you who aren't anatomists out there, that's just above the crack in your behind, in your little butt. It just sits there and rides on it. So are you saying that what is being delivered to the bone there? What's happening?
Yeah, so we have a specific frequency of vibration, low intensity vibration, at a specific force that is the what has been found to be optimum to improve bone strength and bone density. And it's basically, there's firm pressure being applied by the belt. So the vibration is going sort of through your pelvis, through your lumbar spine. You feel it. It actually feels quite nice. Most patients say it feels kind of like a massage, but certainly it feels pleasant. It's pretty quiet. So, you know, you could be on the phone, or what our patients told us in the trial is that most of them would do it while they were doing other activities. So walking the dog, exercising with friends, chopping vegetables in the kitchen. As long as you're standing up, you can wear the device. The treatment session is 30 minutes. So very kind of easy to incorporate in your daily life. In the pivotal trial, we saw those outstanding results, 85% reduction in bone loss for those who used it 3 times a week or more. But what we also saw is that patients who used it 4 times a week, 5 times a week, 6 times a week had even better results. And, you know, this is not surprising. It's almost like exercise or eating healthy. You want to do it every day for the best results. But, you know, if you miss a day here or there, it's still going to work very well.
Okay, let's step back for a second, because so far I'm like, wow, this is really cool. Talk about cool tech. But let's look at this whole issue of bone. You know, when I've asked women when they think that bone becomes a thing, because really think about it for a second, Laura, you and I are busted on this one too. You know, we spend half a lifetime or maybe the whole thing, you know, worried about how much fat we have on our body. And then am I going to have too much or too little muscle? And then nobody talks about bone. It's one of those things, because with muscle, I can actually see, you know, with fat, trust me, honey, I can see. And then when it comes to bone, I've asked women, you know, when do you think bone becomes like a real issue in your life? And their answer is, 65 years old, 60 or 65, like, you know, that's for older women. Really? And do you think that's when bone starts to deteriorate, you know, like your bone mineral density starts to get, bone peaks right around the age of 28. And then starting somewhere between 30, 35, you start actually dropping some bone mineral density. Now, the amount you drop really depends upon many things. Obviously, genetics plays a role, but lifestyle is a monster here. How are you eating? Are you starving yourself to death half the time? No calcium, no vitamin D. Are you doing physical activity like high intensity aerobic kind of thing? And I'll explain in a second. Are you doing resistance training? all the things that tug at bones and stimulate them to build bone and to maintain bony integrity. Are you doing that? If the answer is no, well, okay. We're going to be dropping bone mineral density. And that continues. But by the time he hit menopause, when all of a sudden, you know, you've been weaning off the female hormones, especially estrogen, which is the powerhouse here when it comes to bone building. And if you're not on any form of, you know, hormonal replacement therapy, which so many women are not, then your bone takes a big plummet. Boom. And that's another one. And so then this just continues. And women, and this is a part that makes me crazy. I want to know your feelings about this, Laura. You know, women are just circling the drain for osteoporosis as they're dropping this bone mineral density, and they're clueless. So here we are with bone density in a woman that already begins to decline by the age of 30. And women are absolutely clueless about what's taking place. You don't really feel anything, and you just keep going for decades until someone finally says, hey, here's your DEXA. You know, that scan that all of you should be getting. Here's that DEXA scan. And I don't know, your score, which is called the T score, is starting to dip. And you're starting to knock on osteoporosis's door. And then you sit there shocked. Yeah. You're like, what? Wait a minute. Why didn't anyone tell me? Laura.
I hear this story, what you just said, over and over again, patients writing in. And this is something that I'm really passionate about, and I know you are too, Pam, which is finding out your bone density early, because knowledge is power. The earlier you know, the more you can try to optimize those lifestyle techniques at a minimum. But yes, it's silent. We don't feel our bone density dropping until there's a fracture. And by then, we're really in big trouble, no matter what the T-score says, if there's a fragility fracture. And what's really frustrating is that DEXA scans are safe, they're inexpensive, and they're pretty easy, right? So, you know, people are getting dental x-rays every couple of years, starting that early. We're checking our cholesterol and our blood pressure in our 30s when, you know, we want to see if it's going up. So I believe that we should really be checking on our bone density. And yes, the earlier you intervene, the more effective the interventions will be in halting bone loss. It's much easier to maintain bone than to build it. But this whole idea of having an intervention that's effective for osteopenia is really what is so exciting about OsteoBoost.
Well, wait a minute. What's the difference between osteopenia and osteoporosis?
Okay, so as you lose bone density, when you go from a T-score of 0 to minus 0.99, that's still normal. You're getting below that average point, but that's still normal bone density. And then minus 1, which is one standard deviation below that average midpoint, to minus 2.49 is osteopenia, and then 2.5 and below is osteoporosis. And, you know, people have T-scores that are minus 4 even, but minus 2.5, you're like at the end of that bell curve of just a few percent, and you have a highly elevated fracture risk. But actually, during osteopenia, your fracture risk isn't as high as osteoporosis, but it is going up. And in fact, we know that more than half of all fractures happen during the osteopenia period. So this idea of like waiting till 65 or later and only starting to treat once you have osteoporosis, I don't accept that thinking at all. We don't apply that thinking in cardiovascular disease. We don't wait till your, you know, your arteries are completely clogged, right? We check your cholesterol and we try to avoid that from happening. And so certainly at the beginning of menopause, women, and I think you've even spoken about this on your podcast, if you find, you check your T-score, it's almost like a baseline because you're about to go through likely a pretty rapid period of loss. And we want to be watching that. And this is where OsteoBoost can have so much impact. So I'll tell you my personal story. At 52, my bone density was normal. 5 years later, at 57, osteopenia, I had lost 13% of the bone in my lumbar spine. I mean, 13%, that was kind of a like a gut punch. And guess what my doctor wrote back to me? She said, keep exercising and getting enough calcium. Well, I already exercise a lot and I eat a lot of calcium. And so she was essentially saying, keep doing what you're doing, which didn't work, right? Keep doing what you're doing, which you're still really rapidly losing bone, a couple percent a year. And you know, the good news is that that is exactly what we showed was so impactful for OsteoBoost in our pivotal study. We're able to keep those patients stable. And then sure enough, I started using OsteoBoost, of course, when I joined the company. And from 57 to 61, my bones were stable. So pretty much maintained. And I hope to still maintain. Maybe I can up my strength training. You know, I'm really very conscious of this whole topic. But being able to intervene early with more than get enough calcium, exercise, because we know most women need more during that period.
I think that this is such a great story. And you, as the chief executive officer of the company, are living the experience. That's why I think this is absolutely wild. When we come back, I really want to look at how we integrate this new device, the OsteoBoost device, into medical practice and find out why it is that we haven't had any other innovation in bone. We know about drugs, and so I want you to cover all of this in just a minute. The Her Podcast is sponsored by Solaray Vitamins, Minerals, and Herbs, all rooted in nature. In addition to women's multivitamins, Solaray, S-O-L-A-R-A-Y, is presenting the new Her Life Stages products, providing support for the menstrual years, including PMS, perimenopause, menopause, and postmenopause, and even libido. This integrative holistic approach has a woman's back throughout her entire life journey. To learn more about Her Life Stages, you've got options. You can run on over to your local health food store or check it out at Whole Foods, Sprouts, Amazon, or scroll over to Solaray.com and use promo code HER20 for 20% off your purchase. Women, Solaray's got your back. All right, we're back. Now, this is what I want to know. After you've had your tea, maybe it's coffee by now.
It's coffee.
All right, it's coffee. Trust me. All right, so look, Laura, have women had no options when they had low bone density osteopenia, but not osteoporosis yet? Nothing else? Drugs? Anything?
Well, we have, I don't know, about 8 drugs for osteoporosis. And, you know, there's the class of drugs, bisphosphonates, there's more powerful anabolic drugs. The drugs are not that well adopted. They do have a number of serious adverse effects. Nonetheless, they have been shown to reduce fracture rate, but they were primarily studied in patients with osteoporosis and, in fact, oftentimes more advanced osteoporosis. So there was not a focus by drug makers on osteopenia. And I think there's a number of reasons for that related to what you would have to show in clinical trial design. And also, it's very difficult to get bone drugs approved and anything for osteoporosis approved. In fact, it's so difficult that there's hardly any startups doing it. There's no other startups that I know of with medical devices for osteoporosis going through this rigorous FDA process. And in fact, that was one of the first big decisions I made when I joined the company, which is, do we want to go with just kind of more of an over-the-counter consumer product, or do we want to subject ourselves to this rigorous and pretty difficult and expensive for startup FDA process? And, you know, we felt that for patients to commit to using a device, they have to know it works. And frankly, for me to spend my life working on this, all of my time and energy, take money from investors to put towards this, we really wanted to be confident that it worked. And so we did go through this process. We were fortunate we got an NIH grant to help fund the study. It funded about half of the pivotal study. And the study results were excellent. I shared that a moment ago. And then there was the gauntlet of the FDA. And that we applied for a class 2 medical device. The FDA granted us breakthrough status, which is really a pretty cool term because it goes to exactly what you were asking about, that it's novel, that there's this unmet need for women with osteopenia, patients with osteopenia. Men get it too, of course.
Isn't the demographic for women with osteopenia, the largest one? It's not osteoporosis, is it? Isn't it osteopenia? Yeah.
So if you look at some of the demographic data, the most widely cited numbers, there's probably about 50 to 52 patients with osteopenia, mostly women, but also men.
50 to 52 million.
Yes. Yeah. Million. That's just in the US. And by the way, this is a worldwide disease. I think there's about 14 or 15 million with osteoporosis in Japan. There's a similar number in the US, about 12 million with osteoporosis. So you add this up, there's 60, 64 million people in the US at elevated risk of fracture. And guess what? Half of all women are going to fracture in their lifetime from bone density concerns. I mean, that's more than heart attack, stroke, and breast cancer combined. Probably about 50 billion in the US on just the fracture care, like hospitalization, repairing the hip fracture. And that is not covering like nursing home and assisted living for when people lose independence. So yeah, you can easily double or triple that number. We all know people, right? This is something that we can think about in our own lives who they've had a fracture, then they're with the walker, then they can't live alone, right? And that's if they survive. Between 20 and 30% of people die within the first year of a hip fracture.
And people don't know that. They just think that, you know, go fix the hip fracture. Let's get back to life again. Well, there's another 50% too. And the other 50% is that they don't get back to independent living again.
Yeah, absolutely. And the older they are, the more likely to die and the less likely to live independently. But, you know, here's something that really kills me about these stats is if you go back 50 years, we've reduced death rate from heart attack by I think something like 60%, right? That's an amazing accomplishment of modern medicine. We have reduced death rate from hip fracture by almost nothing, maybe a little bit, right? It's stuck. And fracture rate is also pretty stuck. So this is an area that affects so many people and where we've made, you know, relatively little progress. Now, there are treatments, but people aren't using them enough. So I think it's an area where there's so much opportunity for innovation. And I hear this from patients. They want people to take a different approach, to come up with something non-drug, safe and effective. That's what's, to me, really exciting about this stage.
Well, does OsteoBoost, what you're offering here, does that come with like an app? There's an app for that. And, you know, do you do anything with exercise? What do you do?
Yeah. So, you know, sort of the core of the solution is the device because that gives you that therapeutic boost. But to help people be successful with the device, we built an app to go with it, an iOS app. We'll have Android soon. And that helps you track your compliance and your use of the device. It gives you reminders, kind of rewards, attagirls, attaboys, helps you track your calcium, gives you education. And then, of course, we're going to be adding other things to that in the future. And then last summer, we acquired a company called Wellen, and they have an osteoporosis-specific exercise program. We are in the middle of integrating that in. Anyone who buys the belt will get at least 1 year of, we're now calling it OsteoBoost Fit. Because, you know, what does it take to fracture? It takes weak bones and typically a fall. And so exercise, in addition to stimulating your bones, is so important to preventing falls and improving balance, which is what the Wellen, now OsteoBoost Fit program, is designed for.
It sounds to me like people who use the OsteoBoost medical device can maintain, they can also build. So that's really cool. That's a triple win in my eyes.
Yeah. So what we saw in the study is that for the study was postmenopausal women. Half of them used the active device, half used a sham device. They didn't know it was vibration. We measured, everyone was well blinded. And what we saw was that people who used it 3 times a week or more reduced their loss of bone on average by 85%. And this result was measured by CT scan of the lumbar spine. We also saw very similar benefit in the hip as well. That is essentially reducing loss of bone, and that's for those who use it 3 times a week or more. That's a mean, that's an average. We did see patients gain bone. Some people, just like with the medicine, some people respond better. And also people who used it, you know, more frequently, many of those women were actually able to build bone. And these were women in the study who were not doing typically high impact exercise. We were giving them calcium, both the sham and the active group got calcium. So I believe that this is part of the solution. It's a critical part because just the belt, just the device really had the significant impact that we saw when you compared the active and the sham. But why not layer on top of that, you know, the kind of exercise, of course, nutrition. And, you know, in the future, we want to do studies of combining, we haven't done this yet, OsteoBoost with medication, because the medications still leave some patients fracturing, right? The effect size, the medications aren't a cure. So we need more tools in the tool chest at every stage. We're focusing on osteopenia, but we need more tools throughout the life cycle of bone health.
Okay, so I'm going to step back for a second. So now all of you are smarty pants in the HERB podcast land. You now know that you start dropping bone right around the age of 30 or so, and you want to hold on to it as best you can. And that means that you're doing your exercise, you've got good nutrition, and this is so integral to bone health management as you're going forward. But then as you get toward perimenopause, menopause, and you're beginning to drop that estrogen, you're going to see another plummet. So heads up, be proactive. Make sure you're getting your DEXAs, know the status of your bone mineral density. Insist upon that. Go to your GYN, your primary care provider, and say, I really need to get my DEXA. And hopefully your insurance company will be able to cover that. And then you'll know where you stand. And OsteoBoost, in my mind, from what you've said, is an excellent way to be able to augment that whole management of bone health at that time so that, again, you could slow down the loss. You can maintain as best you can for, you know, as long as you can, or you can actually build. But keeping in mind, if you have early onset menopause for whatever reason, could be genetic, you could have a medical condition, and that includes breast cancer and the chemotherapy, et cetera, that throws women into early menopause, et cetera, you will drop bone much more precipitously. And this is another reason why I put your foot down and say, I need to see what my DEXA is and really become your own best advocate. Get that OsteoBoost into your life in a big way from the sounds of it. Does that sound like a paradigm that works for you?
When I was 52 and I had to ask my doctor for DEXA, and her comment was something along the lines of, well, if you want it, sure, no reason not. But even if we find out that you have osteopenia, I'm going to tell you to get your calcium and exercise. So get your calcium and exercise. But I ended up insisting and I got the DEXA. But now that we have something to do for osteopenia, I think the mindset should really shift, right? Because it's so hard when you're 75 to build bone, but it's not so hard now when you're in your 50s and 60s and even 40s to maintain bone. And that's really what we want to encourage people to do. Maintain muscle, maintain bone. You know, if you think about quality of life, like if we're fortunate enough to live to older age, right, into our 80s and 90s, the quality of our life at that stage is so much dependent on our musculoskeletal system, right? Can we walk around? Can you get down on the floor and play with your grandchildren, right? You know, my grandkids, they want to play board games on the floor, not on the table, right? Getting up and down, you know, sticking them in the backpack. I mean, to me, this is what's important at this stage of life. It motivates me to keep my bones strong.
You know, as a provider, I mean, I would just fall to my knees with happiness because nothing makes a healthcare professional feel worse than not being able to offer you something and instead just sort of sit on the sidelines watching helplessly as you circle the drain toward osteoporosis. So I would imagine providers out there, everyone from, I guess, endocrinologists, internal medicine, family practice, OBGYN, are, you know, should be embracing this, are they?
Oh my God. So the endocrinologists are going crazy over this. They're very excited. And at first I was like, huh, this is really interesting because these endocrinologists are so intellectual, so studious about novel drugs and everything. And here we're this little startup. And what I realized when we were seeing how much interest they have is they're kind of tired of not having anything new, right? There's no new drugs in late stage trials. There's no new agents, to my knowledge, in public trials at all. And this is amazing, given that there's 60 million plus patients with this condition. So they're hungry for something that has gone through, you know, the gauntlet of a randomized control standard, getting FDA approval, because as you know, there's a lot of stuff out there in the bone health field that hasn't done that, that makes claims. We take that research process very seriously. But here, you know, Endocrine News, right? They were so excited about OsteoBoost that they did a 4-page article about it.
Good vibrations. I love it. That's fantastic.
I know. And so already we don't have a sales force yet. We're just kind of building out our commercial efforts. We have endocrinologists from leading academic medical centers who have written, you know, north of 30 prescriptions. I mean, to me, that's amazing. I'm super excited by that.
Just with that one provider.
Yes, writing that many prescriptions. And Duke, UC San Diego, UCSF, Stanford, Columbia, there's doctors from all these important research sites who they take their prescribing seriously, have written prescriptions for OsteoBoost.
So I'm hearing a lot of celebration out there on the part of women who are really taking their bones seriously, for providers who are saying, well, finally, something, and go figure, it's technology. And I think women are also looking for a non-drug. You don't want another drug. It's like, no, how about natural solutions?
Yeah. I always want to make clear, and I say this, especially to the endocrinologists, I'm not against medications. They have an important role. You know, we talked about all these advances in cardiovascular disease. I mean, statins have done some of that, high blood pressure, the blood pressure medicine. And I believe medications have a role in osteoporosis too, but generally they're used later in the process. We need something that people can use early. And, you know, we're seeing doctors prescribe OsteoBoost with medication. Now, obviously that wasn't our study. That's not what we market, but we need more interventions that are safe, that can be used early, that can be used in different ways by providers. Providers, they want more options for osteoporosis and osteopenia.
So right now, let's figure out how a woman's going to be able to access something like OsteoBoost. And something that everyone should know is that it's up to the physician to sit down and really, or, you know, the healthcare provider in general, to discuss this individually with each patient, each woman, each person, to be able to figure out what works best for that person, given everything going on in their medical life, as it were. So now someone is interested out there in the Her podcast land. What do they do, Laura?
Yeah. So if someone is interested in OsteoBoost, there's kind of two things they can do. The main thing is come to our website, osteoboost.com. And what you see there is how to order. So you can order OsteoBoost straight from our website. We have a centralized pharmacy that ships nationwide. So you order, that goes to the pharmacy. Now it is a prescription product, right? That's why I said pharmacy. And they need a prescription from your personal physician, and they can put that through, oftentimes through the EMR. Sometimes, depending on their EMR, that might not be there and they'll need to.
That's the electronic medical record that doctors have that connects them with all of the, you know, the pharmacy and the rest of it.
Right. So our pharmacy is called Health Warehouse. And so doctors can call there. The information on this is on our website. There's a page on our website for healthcare providers, and patients could essentially take that information to their doctor as well. But we are seeing doctors on their own putting the prescription in and then suggesting the patient they still need to go in and order it. We will also have online, essentially telehealth prescribing available. We are very supportive of patients discussing this with their personal physician, because that way they can get management of their bone health over time. Our goal here is to partner with those physicians, but some people can't get in, or for whatever reason, they don't have someone that can readily prescribe OsteoBoost. And then we have this telehealth prescribing available, and it's pretty inexpensive. I think it's about $30.
And that's on the website.
That's on the website, linked on the website.
Excellent. That's fantastic. So what I see here is, I mean, it's kind of mind-blowing. Just when I threw up my hands and almost gave up on any kind of innovation in the bone space, and we always think about drugs because the drugs have been developed for osteoporosis. But what about all of us with osteopenia and, you know, we're dropping some bone mineral density? What was there for us? Because that's actually when most of the fractures are taking place, because it's such a huge population. 52% of the fractures actually occur with the osteopenic population. And you know how I know this? I'm a smarty pants, because osteoporosis runs in my family. And I take it very seriously. So, you know, I got my exercise, you all know that, and my nutrition. But wow, OsteoBoost sounds like another element in the recipe for success.
Yeah. And one thing I think is also really cool about OsteoBoost is the way it works, it is mimicking the natural mechanism of action to improve your bones. So we know that impact exercise, really strength training exercise, it tugs on the bones, it provides mechanical forces, mechanical stimulation to the bones. That signals to the bone cells to activate and improve their remodeling and increase their density. So vibration is essentially mechanical force applied to the bones. And so while the drugs are very effective, they're kind of altering the mechanism to try to optimize it for a greater density, like slowing down bone resorption. It's in the bisphosphonates. I love that we're able to harness the body's own natural mechanism. And therefore, I think the likelihood is that the bone quality is going to be very good. We saw that in the CT scan, these really positive effects of vibration on the bone. So yeah, it's exciting at many levels.
You know, everyone out there, when you're walking, and, you know, I love stomping, just get on out there, because a lot of people can't do the jumpy up and down stuff, especially as you age. You know, we got those owies. You're actually vibrating. All the work I've done with the American College of Sports Medicine, with physical activity, we've known this forever. You vibrate, you pull on the bones when you do your resistance training, stimulating them to continue to build bone. This is so integral. So here's my word. You know what my word is by now. Non-negotiable. You do some form of physical activity, and apparently OsteoBoost has a fantastic exercise program as well. So they can learn about the exercise program from the website, Laura?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. And they'll get, if they order OsteoBoost, they get essentially a link to sign up for the exercise program as well. So the website is OsteoBoost, one word, OsteoBoost.com. And on there, lots of information on the product, of course, the science. There's a webinar on the science of vibration. So lots of information, both for patients and for doctors. If someone really wants to go crazy, they can read the results from the trial. They can hear about our FDA de novo approval. Lots of stuff there. So,
okay. I just want to order it. You know, let's just cut through it. Get to the bottom line here. I'm racing over to the website. So everyone out there, that's OsteoBoost, OsteoBoost.com. Learn more about it there. Have a conversation with your healthcare provider. Look at your DEXA. And if you don't have one, get one. Very, very important. It's now time for bones to hit center stage at long last. Laura, I can't thank you enough for really giving hope to so many women out there, and for all your work at OsteoBoost as their chief executive officer, and really pushing this forward and, you know, kind of leading the charge with your wonderful team to be able to make all of this happen for women who are now worried about their bones, as well they should be, and are now going to pay attention, be more mindful about that. So, Laura, thank you so much for being on the HER podcast.
Thank you, Pam. So excited to share what we're doing with you. Hope everyone stays strong.
We're going to stay strong. And Oh, my goodness. Laura, just thanks. And I also want to once again thank my sponsor, Solaray Vitamins, Minerals, and Herbs, rooted in nature, and the new Her Life Stages products. Scope it out at solaray.com. And hey, now take a moment to leave us a review because we love to hear from you. So this has been a production of Podcast Health. And remember, your time in this world may be limited, but the things you can do with that time are not. So I want every single one of you to get on out there, seize the day, a little carpe diem, and thanks for listening.